1 Kings chapter number 19, and we will be needing some help, as Brother Chris mentioned, following the service just to tear things down again. And I was thinking, I have some friends who have church and rented facilities, and they have to, every service they have to come in, set up their sound system, set up the chairs, set up the projection, set up everything, and then at the end of service, they have to tear it all down again and repeat the next week. And I wondered how that felt. And just on the very small level of what we've been doing, I can tell you that, well, right now it doesn't feel very good. And so we will be looking forward to having everything finished for next weekend. That's the plan. And I know that sometimes plans change, but we are anticipating having the painting done, the ceiling done, the carpet in for Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is next Sunday, so we're hoping to have it all done so that everything will be once and for all back in place, and we will be able to get things in order the way we want them to be. And so that will be next Sunday. While you're standing, I do have one more thing to look after, and that is last Sunday we had our presentations for New Through 30, and we did them on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, I don't know what happened to me. I'll call it forgetfulness. And I have a certificate for Teresa Rose. She completed the New Through 30, and we put the steps out on the side, and I noticed that everybody's just coming down off the top. Congratulations, Teresa. You're welcome. And we just have to smile. We have to smile and wave. There we go. Give her a good hand. And if you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19, I was thinking as I was stepping up on the stage, I was at the French conference when Brother Cahozzi was preaching, and I had damaged my knee and was in physiotherapy for it. And Brother Cahozzi came to the edge of the platform in Saint-Laurent and wanted me to come up over the side of it. He reached out his hand. As I put my leg up, I realized I put my bad knee up. It buckled when I tried to come up on it, and poor old Brother Cahozzi almost came off the stage with me. And it's a little higher stage than what there is here. So, fortunately, and I'm bigger than he is, but fortunately he was able to keep his grasp, and I kind of flopped onto the stage. Wasn't quite a belly flop, but it was a humiliating flop anyway. So our stage is a little bit lower. It's a little bit easier to, not quite so humiliating. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 9. This is from the life of Elijah. And read with me. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And tonight I want to speak on the subject of hearing God's voice. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we go into our subject. Lord, we come together tonight for worship. We come together to praise you. Lord, we come together to hear from your word and to be inspired by it, to be challenged by it. Lord, I pray that you will enable me to speak it as you would have it spoken. I pray, Lord, that we will hear from you tonight. Let you will speak into our lives and that we will hear from you. And Lord, this we ask in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Usually, this past week of every year, I'm in New Brunswick for the graduation at Northeast Christian College. And we go down for the graduation, and then it's followed by the semi-annual board meetings for the college. This year, because of the renovations, I wasn't able to go. And it seems like every time I come by the church, they've got more questions and more that they want to know and what I want and where it has to go. And so I wasn't able to go. So on Tuesday morning, I teleconferenced into the board meetings. It's the first time I'd ever done it, the first ones that I've missed since I've been on that board. And it was, to say the least, a little bit different. For one thing, I was at home sitting in my Lazy Boy because I was looking out my office window, and I've never been able to look out my office window like that before. It always was up, so you had to get on tiptoe to see basically out of it. And because I have no office, I was at home in my Lazy Boy. I know it's tough, it's hard, and I struggle, but I'm making it, and I'm doing okay. Thank you. And so I had my headphones on and was teleconferenced into it. And it was really different. There were some new members on the board, and different people would be speaking in the board meeting, and of course, I can't see who's speaking. And so as they're speaking, I'm trying to figure out some of them who it is, and trying to recognize their voices, and there are some voices that were pretty easy to pick out. Some that were very familiar, and then there were others that were not so familiar, that it took me a little bit, and listening to hear somebody mention names to be able to catch exactly who was speaking at what time. And so, not being able to see their face, I was challenged to be able to identify them by their voice. And after a while, I got accustomed to the different voices and put the name to the voice. And it wasn't so hard. But it was challenging. In the Bible, we know that God speaks to his children. We know that he did it all through the Bible, and he continues to do it today. That God speaks to his creation. From the very first book of Genesis and the very first human family with Adam and Eve, the Bible says that God would come down and commune or speak to him in the cool of the day. As we go on through the Bible, characters met God and God spoke to them. Sometimes in loud, booming voices and sometimes in very gentle ways. We come into the New Testament and we find that the Holy Ghost began to speak to men and women, not only audibly but in their hearts. And he would begin to lead and guide and direct them. Till we come to the book of Revelation where John said that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he began to detail what the Lord spoke to him and what the Lord told him. God always wanted to communicate with his people, with his creation. And so we see it all through the Scripture. In New Testament times, he spoke often to New Testament believers. Whether it was John on the Isle of Patmos, or whether it was Peter in need, God spoke to his people. And today, it's important for us to realize in our journey of faith that God wants to speak to his people. That God desires to communicate with you and I, not only as we speak to him in prayer, but as he speaks to us in our hearts. Our text tonight is about Elijah.
Elijah was a great prophet, the prophet of thunder. He was a bold prophet. He could stand before kings and he could stand before generals. And he wasn't afraid to speak. One of the most inspirational stories about Elijah was when he challenged 400 prophets of Baal to a duel. It wasn't like the Wild West where they would line up in the street and the fastest draw wins, but it was the God who would answer the sacrifice by fire. He would be God. And so Elijah, one man, stood against 400 prophets of Baal, built an altar, doused it with water, and then called out to God in a very simple prayer. God, just answer my prayer. Let fire come down from heaven. As you may know the story, fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water. Everything was gone. 400 priests of Baal lost their lives that day, and it was a great victory for Elijah and for God. But then, what the challenge of Mount Carmel couldn't do, one woman did. I know there's a lot that could be said, but I'm not going to say it. Sometimes, it's not the things that you would expect that throw you into a tailspin. You would think that being challenged by 400 prophets of Baal and all the power of the army of Israel would send Elijah into fear, that it would cause him great difficulty, but it didn't. It was the word of one queen, Jezebel, whom he had stood up to before. When Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill him," you see, she wasn't happy because her pet prophets had been executed and been destroyed. And so Elijah went into a tailspin. He went out into the wilderness and God fed him. Now imagine this. God fed him a meal that lasted him for 40 days. Can you imagine how much you'd save on groceries alone? 40 days. It says that he went in the strength of that one meal. Finally, Elijah went to a cave. And there were many caves in the area. He went to a cave and God came asking him a question. And the question was, "Elijah, what are you doing in the cave? Why are you here in the cave?" I think what God was saying was, "Elijah, I never told you to go to the cave. I never told you." You see, Elijah was in the middle of a pity party. Elijah was convinced again that he was the only one and that no one else loved God and that he was going to be destroyed, even though God could answer by fire. And so God said, "Elijah, what are you doing in the cave?" There are some times that God comes to speak to you when you find yourself in your own little cave. We all get there sometimes. When you find yourself in a cave and it's dark and it's gloomy, but the darkness just kind of, you don't see anything and it's just you and your thoughts. And those thoughts aren't always light and bright. He said, "What are you doing in the cave?" Imagine. I think what God was saying was, "If I had your back on the mountain, don't you think I'm going to have your back in the valley? If I had your back when you called for fire and that was spectacular, don't you think if Jezebel threatens you that I'm going to have your back there too? What are you doing in the cave?" And God began to demonstrate his power. There were several things that happened as Elijah was in the mouth of the cave and God told him, "You stay here, I want to show you something." First, there came a strong wind. And in the Bible, God often was found to be in the wind. The very word for wind speaks of spirit. And so it often represented God. And there was a strong wind that came. And the bushes began to bend. And the trees began to break. And the Bible simply says that God was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake. And the earth shook around him. And rocks began to fall around the cave from higher on the mountain slopes. And then the Bible says, but God was not in the earthquake. And yet we know that God could use an earthquake because he did with Peter when Peter was in jail. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And then the Bible says that there was a fire. Fire was also symbolic of God. Fire was what God did when Elijah prayed and needed an example from God, a sign. It was fire, but there was fire and God was not in the fire. In all of these things that were attention getting, in all of these things, that there was no problem to notice that it was happening around you. I've only been in the little tremors that we have here, and I got to tell you, they make me uncomfortable. And there's something about fire that you can't miss it. And when there's a strong wind, and you hear the wind blowing the trees around, and you feel its pressure against you, you can't miss it. But then the Bible says none of these was God in. But then there was a still small voice. You couldn't miss the earthquake. You couldn't miss the wind. You couldn't miss the fire. But you could miss the still small voice. What God was saying to Elijah was, Elijah, if you don't pay attention to me, you can miss me. If you're looking for the loud and proud examples, I may not be there. If you really want to hear my voice, you've got to kind of stop. It was God speaking in a still small voice, saying, Elijah, what's going on? What's happening in you right now? I've never personally heard God speak in an audible, booming voice. That bass voice from heaven that just causes everything around to resonate with sound. But I do know that God speaks to us today. And I know that more than ever before in our culture, that we need to be able to hear the voice of God as he speaks. God speaks to us through his word. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want the direction of God, get into his word. As you read his word, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Other translations have it that it's literally God breathed. And as you read the word, you read the voice of God as he speaks into your life. The word speaks. That's why there's such power when you begin to read it. That's why Paul would write to the Romans and say that now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's something about getting scripture into your mind and in your head that God begins to speak through his word. And my experience with it is like this. There have been times that I've read through the Bible, and I don't know, I should have kept track how many times I've read through completely through the Bible. I suspect it's around 30, 40 times. And yet when I begin to read through it again, even this year, and going through the new through 30, I'll be reading along, and there'll be something that'll jump off the page at me, and it's like, where was that? Because you see, God works through the Word, and God has a way of illuminating the Word by His Spirit. It may not be a new revelation. It may be that God illuminates His Word for the situation that you find yourself in. Last year, you didn't need that Word, but this year, you needed it. And God has a way by His Spirit of making it real into your life. So we hear God's voice through his word. Through his word. God's will is found in his word. That's why the Bible says it is through the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save those that believe. Through preaching and teaching. I've lost track of the number of times. As a matter of fact, someone used to say when they came to church here, they used to kind of teasing, half serious, I think. He used to ask me, were you talking to my wife this week? And I'd say, honestly, no. And they would say, well, what you spoke on this morning was exactly what was going on in my life this week. And how did you know? Well, the truth of it was, I didn't know. But you see, God speaks to us through His Word. And the amazing thing about preaching is that in a group of people, even the size of what's here tonight, that God has that unique ability to take what is being said. And I don't know how He does it, but He somehow, between the preacher's lips and the hearer's ears, that He takes it and brings it in a way that it speaks to where we're at. And there can be 100 people that have different needs, but God takes the word that is spoken and speaks it to the individual need in a personal way. And we get to hear the voice of God through His word. Through His word. We need to hear God's voice. We hear through other people. Sometimes God uses people. Often it happens through that still small voice. And, you know, I've been preaching for over 30 years, and I still haven't found a way to adequately describe how that works. But as God speaks into our hearts, and there is no audible voice, but you know it's a God moment, and you know it's the voice of God within your life. It may be a prompting of the Spirit that protects you from danger. It may be that it's direction, or it may be that it's something that says there's something that's just not right, and you're consciously, you don't know that there's anything wrong, but there's that still small voice of the Spirit that speaks into your mind and in your heart. And when we recognize that, we recognize that God speaks to us as individuals. He speaks. That still small voice. Sometimes it may be about a decision that we're getting ready to make, and that still small voice just won't stop. And, you know, God can be very persistent. He doesn't just stop when we say no. He continues to speak, and He continues to work in our lives. And sometimes we ignore Him, or sometimes, you know, we try to avoid Him, and that's really tough. Because you see, you can't go anywhere where God isn't. So when you're trying to avoid God, He's already there before you got there. And He's just kind of saying, hello, it's me again. But God speaks. And when God speaks into our lives, sometimes He speaks correction, and sometimes He speaks conviction. And what we need to understand is that when God speaks correction or conviction into our lives, it is not to punish us, it is to save us. The difference between conviction and condemnation, you see, God speaks conviction into my life from time to time, but God does not speak condemnation. Condemnation is the work of the enemy. Condemnation says, you've really messed up. You have no hope. You might just as well give up and be done. That's condemnation. Condemnation says, you'll never be good enough for God. You'll never match the high standard that God really wants from you. And so you might just as well forget about a relationship with God or doing anything for God. Conviction is different. When God speaks conviction into your life, He may speak to you and say, what you're doing is wrong. Here's the right to do. But His purpose is not so that you will fail or fall, but His purpose is so that you will find a way to victory and you'll be able to overcome, because God's voice speaks not only conviction, but encouragement to be able to do better. The voice of conviction in the heart. God's voice to the disciples on the sea. I love this story because, you know, the disciples were fishermen. They were professional sailors. The Sea of Galilee was like their backyard. They were used to it. They were always there. The wind and the waves came up, and Jesus had said, go to the other side and I'll meet you there. The winds and the waves come up, and they're bailing for all they're worth. They're afraid they're going to go down. Now, there was no way that boat was going down. It couldn't go down. And the reason it couldn't go down was not because it was so good. It wasn't because they were such good sailors. It wasn't because they had big enough whatever they were using to bail the boat out with. It was because Jesus said, I'm going to meet you on the other side. And if Jesus said, I'm going to meet you on the other side, there was no storm, there was no wind, there was no wave that could ever stop that boat and the disciples from getting to the other side. But they were in fear. And then they looked up and saw someone walking on the water towards them, and their first reaction was not, it's Jesus. Their first reaction was, it's a ghost. This is spooky. This should not be. But it was when they heard his voice. Don't be afraid. It's me. And there are some times in our lives that we need to be able to hear the voice of God. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our anxieties about life, to be able to hear the voice of God that simply says, it's me, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we need to hear the voice of God to speak peace in the middle of our storms. It may be to bring wisdom in the middle of our frustration. It may be when we feel hopeless to bring hope in the middle of our situation. There are times that we face decisions about life. It may be about career. It may be about a mate. It may be about business dealings. And we need direction within our lives. And the Bible teaches us about wisdom that if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men freely. How does he do it? Sometimes he does it through his word. Sometimes he does it through people. And sometimes I've been amazed. There have been times that, as a pastor, sometimes you have to deal with situations and deal with people. And there have been sometimes I've just told the Lord straight up, like, God, I don't know the answer here. You ever have to do that sometimes? Like, God, I haven't got a clue, Lord. Like, I'm not very smart today. You know, most days. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the best course of action is. I don't know how we can bring healing. I don't know how we can bring hope. I don't know. It's just a bad situation. Lord, what do we do? You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when you just begin to talk to him and you shut out everything else and you get down to business and begin to pray, I've discovered that God's a lot smarter than I am. Well, you all knew that, but it takes us all a while to figure that out. And I've discovered that there are sometimes that while in prayer, sometimes about a spiritual situation, sometimes about a natural situation, you ask God for help. And if you ask God for help, you need to expect that God's going to speak. And so ask God for help. And all of a sudden, I was going to say kneeling at the altar here, but kneeling at the altar out there. And all of a sudden it was like, boom, a light bulb came on. You know, I know it's cliche, the light bulb over your head, but it felt like that. And I got up from prayer saying, why didn't I think of that before? Because I can be quite methodical sometimes about things, and so it's, you know, pro here and con here and pro here and con there and think it through and get it through and don't make a rash decision and don't jump. And in all of those pros and cons and figuring and all of that, never had that solution ever been a part of the equation. But you see, when you ask God for wisdom, when you ask God for direction, be ready to listen to what God wants to say. Sometimes we get so busy asking that we never stop just to listen. And one of our problems with prayer is that prayer forces me to stop. Prayer forces me to stop doing my work, to stop trying to get everything together, to stop trying to get it all hammered out. Prayer forces me to leave all of that to one side. And we sometimes sing an old song, shut in with God in a secret place, there in the Spirit beholding his face. Gaining more power to run in life's race, I long to be shut in with God? There's sometimes that if we pray before we make the decision, we don't have to pray as hard after we make the decision. I want to stop there because I want to repeat it. If we pray before we make decisions and act, we save ourselves. I don't know if this is a good... It feels kind of funny for a preacher to be recommending that you actually have to pray a little less. But if you pray before the decision and get the voice of God and the purpose of God and the direction of God before you make decisions in life, you will have to pray less later that God will help you with the results of your decision. You see, sometimes we jump and we make decisions that are bad decisions because it's what I want at the moment. It's what I want right now. And if we would, and then we make the decision and we're praying, oh God, I got myself into a jam. How do I get myself out? But if we pray before we make the decision and find the voice and the will of God and the purpose of God, we discover that I have to pray less later about it. Because I'm walking in God's peace, because I've already heard from God, and God always leads me right. Brings direction. God's voice brings you to a place of ministry. God has a purpose for every one of us, and there are people that you alone can touch that I can't touch. There are people that you come in contact with that I'll never come in contact with. And you never know how God works. I went to buy another car this week. And I was talking to the guy I was buying the car from. And way out in Mascouche. And got to talking to him. And we're on our way to the Régie to transfer the registration. And he starts telling me about his life. So he didn't know exactly everything about me at that point. He soon did. And he starts telling me about things that had happened and how he had tried to get on the assisted suicide list and health problems and all kinds of things. And we got talking and began to tell him, you know what? God loves you. I never thought buying a car that I'd be telling somebody that. But I was telling him, God loves you. He cares about you more than you could ever imagine. He loves you in ways, and it doesn't matter what your past is. And he said, well, Pastor, because by that point I told him that I was a pastor. And he said, well, but Pastor, there are things. And I told him, you know what? It really doesn't, none of that matters. God loves you. And because God loves you, there is always hope in your life. I'd like to tell you I got him prayed through in the drive, but I didn't. I'd like to tell you that. Didn't quite get to that point. But then he said, you know, my wife, his wife was from the Philippines, or his girlfriend. And he said, she used to go to a church out in Alberta. And since we came back to Quebec and we're out here in Mascouche, she hasn't been anywhere and she misses it. So when we got back to the house, she came out, and I didn't have a business card on me, nothing on me. All I had, remember the bags we had printed with the church name on it and the church logo and all that? All I could find was one of those. It's a big tract. And so I got it out of my car, and I said, here, I don't have anything with me, but here, take this bag. And it's got the church website on it. And I gave her brother Benji Terrible's phone number and said, look, there's a guy in Terrebonne. He lives over in Terrebonne, and he'd be happy to get together with you. And you're right in the same, it's right across the highway, and you're in the same neighborhood. You never know what God will do. And how God will bring things together. I don't know what's going to happen in her life. She said, where's your church? I said, it's in Pointe Claire. She asked her husband, I guess boyfriend. She said, how far is Point Claire from here? And we said, well, you know, it's probably about a 45-minute drive or so. She looked at him and she said, Patrick, she said, you know what? 45 minutes is not very far to go. Now, I don't know if they'll ever show up here, and I'm hoping that she'll make the call to Brother Benji and get plugged in with a group out in Terrebonne. But you know what? God can speak to you in the middle of anything about ministry and about touching somebody else's life. But we've got to be able to hear God's voice to know what God wants. And I want to bring this to a close. Please come back to the piano. There's a saying that I've used before. It simply is this: if you want to know, you've got to slow. It means that sometimes you just have to step back. We get our emotions involved in things and we make really bad decisions. We get angry. We get frustrated. Anytime you get the emotions involved, your decisions become colored by the emotion and not by the facts. But to take time to hear that still small voice of God, to clear out all the distractions and the busyness, the things that have us going in all directions at once, and the pressures that are like spiritual earplugs, to hear the voice of God in our lives. God's voice speaks about sin and brings conviction. But God's voice also, as he speaks conviction, speaks of mercy and grace. God's voice speaks to protect from danger. Paul was warned by a prophet. God spoke to him and said, don't go here because there's danger ahead. God's voice speaks encouragement. How many times in the scripture does it record God is saying, fear not, I'm with you. God's voice speaks direction and decisions. I've discovered that God waits for me to obey what I know right now before he speaks the next point. I was reading, let's just go to the last scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. The New Living. Stand with me as we read it. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. To follow the Spirit's leading is not some impersonal force that pushes you one way or the other against your will. Being able to hear that still small voice of the Spirit, whether through the Word or through people or through that voice internally that speaks. It's being able to just hear His voice. And I want to challenge you. I felt this on my heart this week. I want to challenge you before you make major decisions, before you do things that just can't be undone. Hear the voice of God. If you're living with fear, find a place with God and just hear the voice of God. If you need wisdom, find a place by yourself to talk to God, and then after you've told him what you need, just stop and wait. Don't say anything. Be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Hearing the voice of God. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I thank you for each person that's here tonight, and I thank you that we choose to follow you. We choose to walk with you. And Lord, I ask you that as we choose to follow you, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice in a very real way. I pray, Lord, that the distractions that sometimes get in the way, the sin that separates us from you, Lord, I pray that all of those things, Lord, will be dealt with. And Lord, that we could hear from you. I pray for those here who have decisions to make. And I pray, Lord, they'll be able to hear your voice. I pray for those who struggle with fear or anxiety or, Lord, from worry and even depression. Lord, that you would speak in the middle of all of it. And Lord, that we would carve out that quiet place to hear from you. Lord, far from the maddening crowd, far from the things that just press in upon us. And Lord, whether we be young or old, Lord, that we would just hear from you. And Lord, that we would be led by your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of prayer around the front tonight. And I'd like to invite everybody to come and just to stand and just lift your hands and say, Lord, let me hear your voice. Speak into my life. Work in me. And